This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ألهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم فزدناهم هدى صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the middle of his book a series of surahs which seem to be linked in that the guiding theme is the heroic youth. We have in Surah Al-Kahf the story of the fitya, the young men who entered the cave, and their prayer, رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا O Allah, grant us from your presence rahmah and give us right conduct in our affairs. This is their prayer. And the surah that deals with Sayyidatna Maryam is also really about the same principle. She also is oppressed. She is cast out. She relies on her Lord. She is tried with something almost impossible to bear. And she is young also, and yet she is finally vindicated in a way that neither she nor anybody could have expected. And then the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, which comes up in Surah Taha and elsewhere. His story really begins as a prophetic story when he is rejected and thrown out of Egypt. And again, as a young man, and he's still single, he hasn't married yet, he goes off into the desert, not knowing what the outcome might be, but still a person of futuwa. These three surahs come next to each other in the Qur'an. Al-Kahf, Maryam, Taha. And this principle of being a fata is something that requires examination. Sometimes we tend to assume that as we grow up and as we age, that means we are growing into something that is most truly ourselves. We look at a child misbehaving and say, oh, he'll grow up, he'll get out of it. We look at the five-year-old and look forward to the time when he can read and write. We look to the teenager and look forward to the time when he calms down and stops being difficult. We look to the student and so forth. Everything seems to be looking towards the future, particularly nowadays. But the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the fitrah of an insan, of human beings, is perfect and needs to be perfected at every age. The baby is not just an imperfect version of what will come. The baby is, in its particular waqt, in its time, perfect in its own qualities and its behavior. And the same goes for the child. And the same goes for the teenager. And the same goes for the person who is in his or her late teens and early 20s and is a feta, a young person with this heroic quality. The same is true for the middle age, the same is true for the old age. Every age has its own perfection and shouldn't be seen as an imperfection waiting to be improved simply by the passing of the years. Sometimes in a religious context, we very often look down upon the young. And we assume that real religious success, and what is impressive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is shaykhuha, being a grey beard and having grey hair and being an elder, and that everything else is a kind of embryonic move towards that. This is not the case. And in these three surahs, we find these wonderful stories in which the heroes, and they are certainly presented in heroic terms, are young people. Young men, like the young men in the cave, and like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, a young woman like Sayyidina Maryam, who is one of the perfected women, as the hadith indicates. That's important for us to remember. Sometimes in our religious life we can think, I'll postpone getting better until I'm older. But that's not the way we should be. Every age has its own perfection that can be in the here and now. Now this quality of futur, of being in this state of youth, which is the right way of being young, when there is energy, when there is strength, when there is single-mindedness, when there is determination to succeed in so many ways. These are all good qualities. These are all noble qualities. These are all qualities of chivalry. Futuwa in Arabic means chivalry. And so we have a huge literature which indicates what this is to be, and particularly identifies it with youth and with the state of youth. That the quality of being an outward warrior, and if you're young, that's the best age to be an outward warrior, no point in joining the army when you're my age, for instance, has an inward reality as well, which we are called to be. The outward strength should be mirrored in an inward strength, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created young people to do that and to have that capacity. It's not the modern idea of, well, it's the time when you let it all hang out and you go to raves and parties and then you become more mature when you're in your 30s and 40s. No, there is a way of being fully yourself and in line with your fitrah and complete, kamil, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are any age. And this unique Quranic emphasis on the fitya, the youthful, is linked by the ulama to the principle of ithar. It means doing things for others, for your brothers. Imam al-Qushayri, rahmatullahi alayhi, says the governing hadith for this is the hadith which is narrated by Zayd bin Thabit, which says, لَا يَزَالُ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَةِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will help his servant for as long as his servant is helping his brother. How do the people of the cave pray? They ask for the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they ask for the rashad from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The state of futuwa is a state of direct connectedness to Allah. And the way we accomplish this is by looking to the other, overcoming the self in this beautiful property of ithar. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they prefer others to themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Even though they have the greater need. So this is the quality of futuwa, and it's something that drastically neglected. It doesn't form part of the modern world's image of what it is specifically to be a young person. But our literature and our heritage is so full of this, and so full of beauty in this regard. And the Quran elsewhere, look at the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And again we find this word. What happens when the idolaters wake up one morning and all of the idols except the big one are smashed, and they said, who's done this to Elihatina, to our gods? And then somebody says, سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Somebody says, we've heard of a feta, a young man, who used to mention them, and his name is Ibrahim. In this city of idolaters, with its elders and its traditions and its pomp, there's one person who's against all of this, and it's not some elderly sage, it's a young person, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is perhaps very young. He is the one who has had the courage to do this. He has that energy and that single-mindedness of youth. He alone has seen through the foolishness of his people's ways, of the ancestral accumulated rituals that have no meaning, and he is the one who has had the courage to pick up the axe and to smash the symbols of his people's meaningless cult. And he pays a big price. Like Sayyidina Musa, like Sayyidina Maryam, like the people in the cave, he's banished, he goes out, and apparently to hopelessness. What could be more hopeless than being driven out of the city and your family into the desert? And that's where they go. All of these people are driven out into the desert. But the young man, or in the case of Sayyidina Maryam, the young woman, certainly, they have an extraordinary outcome. Why? Because they trust in their Lord. And because they have this inner strength. They don't just turn turtle and give up and collapse and say, this is just too much. They're the ones who have the energy and the determination and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about and to be made the vehicles of an incredible future for their peoples. This is one of the secrets of the Qur'anic discourse. The Qur'an has a lot to say about the particular quality of being young. How old was Sayyidat Maryam, alayhi salam? The scholars say probably in her early teens. Can you imagine her vulnerability? She's being accused of the worst thing in Jewish law. She has nobody to look after her. She's driven out into the desert. She gives birth on her own underneath a tree. What could be more helpless in that situation? To be 13 or 14 in that situation, rejected by everybody, rejected by your religion, your law, and to give birth and to have to look after the new child. What could be more helpless than that? But she has this trust and she obeys her Lord when she is told to go back into the city, even though she is then burdened with the duty of having to fast. So much about this quality of youth that is in the Qur'an that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to be a noble quality and a quality of self-discipline and a quality of tafatti, of being a youthful servant of others. This is a fundamental principle. And we look at its link to the principle of rida, which we were looking at recently. There is a connection. If you are pleased with the decree of your Lord, as those great prophets were, because of your love for your Lord and his decree, incredible things can come about. And beautiful things can come about. There's a story about Bishr al-Hafi, who was one of the great scholars and the awliya of medieval Iraq. And he says, قَصَدْتُ عَبَّادًا فَإِذَا بِرَجُلٍ أَعْمَى مَجْدُومٍ قَدْ صُرِئ وَالنَّمْلُ تَأْكُلُ لَحْمَهُ. I went to Abadan. في بداية أمري. When I was young, I went to Abadan. It's a city in near the northernmost part of the Arabian Gulf. And then I saw in the city a man who was blind and who was leprous, who had had a stroke, and he was so helpless that the ants were eating his flesh. فَرَفَعْتُ رَأْسَهُ وَوَضَعْتُهُ فِي حِجْرِي. So I lifted up his head and placed his head in my lap. وَجَعَلْتُ أُكَلِّمُهُ. And I started to talk to him. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالْ مَنْ هَذَا الْفُضُولِ الَّذِي يَدْخُلُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ رَبِّي. And when he came to himself, he said, who is this useless person who's coming between me and my Lord? وَاللَّهِ لَوْ قَطَعَنِي أَرِبًا أَرِبًا مَزْدَدْتُ لَهُ إِلَّا حُبًّا. Wallahi, I swear, if I were to be cut into small pieces, I would only increase in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's two images of futuwa. Two images, first of service, looking after somebody else and going to the horrible looking leper in the street and looking after him when nobody else wants even to notice him. That's tafatti. That is being a youthful person who gives himself for others. And the other person, with this incredible response, has such rida in his Lord that he is content with his condition. Completely overcome his own ego and his own nafs. There was a famous doctor in the time of Tur al-Hafi in Baghdad who had terrible, terrible illnesses, and particularly back pain. He really suffered from back pain, and yet he was always looking out for his patients and going to visit them and doing everything he could for them. And he was asked about that. And he said, Darbul Habibi la yuja. The beloved's blows cause no pain. He was in this tikkutuwa of sacrificing himself for others, and he said, because of my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these blows, they mean nothing to me. I don't even feel them. It's a very high degree. But the strength of youth is capable of that. It is capable of that kind of shahada, of making that kind of sacrifice. And we think about how many of our problems in society could be overcome if only there was a certain proportion of people in any society that was able to do that, and to improve the situation of those who are most needy, rather than leaving it to social services, but actually rolled up their sleeves and did it themselves. And Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was one of the great men of Futuwa. And it is said that if you really want to understand the Ahlul Bayt and to love those who love the Ahlul Bayt, you have to understand their rida and you have to understand their Futuwa. Futuwa is a principle that we associate with Imam Ali radiallahu anhu wa karrama wajhahu, with his famous two-pointed sword, which is the sword of futuwa, the sword of the zahir and the sword of the batin, that have to go together if we are truly to be transformed, chivalrous human beings. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was once approached by Shaqiq al-Balkhi, who is a great zahid, a person who dedicates himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is from Central Asia. Shaqiq al-Balkhi sa'ala Ja'far ibn Muhammad anil futuwa. He asked Ja'far al-Sadiq, what is futuwa? Qal mal futuwa indukum? And he said, what is futuwa according to you? Meaning him and his particular devotional tradition. And Shaqiq says, الفتوة عندنا أنه إذا أعطينا شكرنا وإذا منعنا صبرنا. فتوة for us is when we are given something we are grateful, we have shukr, and when we are not given something we have sabr, we have patience. قال الإمام جعفر الكلاب عندنا في المدينة هكذا تفعلوا. Even the dogs in Medina, in our city, do that. You give the dog something and it's grateful. You don't give it, it has sabr. So what's so special about your futuwa? فقال شقيق يبنى بنتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فما الفتوة عندكم؟ What is futuwa according to you? And he says, رضي الله عنه, الفتوة أنك إذا أعطيت آثرت وإذا منعت شكرت. That our definition of futuwa is that if you are given something, you give it to someone else, and you have not given something, then you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whatever he does is from him, and is therefore the perfect thing in that situation. That's a high degree. How would we be in our lives, in our families, in our societies, in our Muslim countries, if that was a widespread principle? Where we had that rida, that contentment with Allah's decree, and were raised up to that beautiful degree. Another story about Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, radiallahu anhu. That a man was once on Hajj, and he was in Medina, and he went to sleep in the mosque, and all of the Hajjis around him. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ وَجَدَ أَنَّ هَيَّمَا نَفُوا سُرِقْ. And when he woke up, he found that his wallet been stolen. فَخَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And he went out of the masjid. فَإِذَا بِجَعْفَرِ بُنْ مُحَمَّدِ. And there was Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, walking away quickly. He didn't know who it was. فَتَعَلَّقَ بِهِ. He grabbed him. فَقَالْ أَنْتَ الَّذِي سَرَقْتَ. Hey Amani, you're the one who stole my wallet. فَأَدْخَلَهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَوَزَنَ لَهُ أَلْفُ دِينَارٍ. And he took him to his house and he measured out, counted out for him 1,000 dinars. And the man خَرَجَ وَرَجَعَ إِلَى دَارِهِ. And the man went back and went back to the place where he was staying. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ وَجَدَ هَيَمَانَهُ قَدْ تَوَهَّمَ أَنَّهُ سُرِقَ. And when he went back, he saw his wallet. It was there in his house. He just imagined it. He'd lost it. فَرَجَعَ إِلَى دَارِ جَعْفَرٍ. And then he went back to the house of Ja'far. فَاَعْتَذَرَ لَهُ. And apologized to him. And gave him back his 1,000 dinars. But Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq refused to take it. And he said, شَيْءٌ أَخْرَجْتُهُ مِنْ يَدِي تَصَدُّقًا لَا أَسْتَرِدُ. Anything which has come out of my hand with the intention of sadaqah, I will never take it back. That's an amazing transaction. There's a lot to learn in that. When you think about when we lose something, how quick we are to assume so-and-so, or anybody, must have taken it. It was the maid in the hotel room. It was my roommate. It was somebody in the hall of residence. It was. We didn't quite like to think, maybe we're so absent-minded that we left it somewhere else. This is a nasty instinct that we have. That's not futuwa. The instinct is to blame yourself and to give other people the benefit of the doubt. And the maqam of Imam Ja'far, radiallahu anhu, was such a high maqam that the man was accusing him and he wanted the man's problem to be solved and for the issue to be closed, so he gave him the money. That's a very high degree, and that's the maqam of futuwa. This is something that we need to aspire to, because to the extent that we're focused on our own needs and the greatness of our own selves and our own destinies in this little dunya, we won't rise to this degree. To the extent that we notice the real needs that are out there with other people, needs far greater than our own in so many cases, and we'll rise above this nafs, and then we'll become like, who knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have in store for us. Look at the people in the cave. Going into a cave, the door is shut, the age is dark, it seems to be the end. Maybe we could be the people in the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bring about some extraordinary conversion of the world, where people return to the way of light and truth and passion. Who knows? Allah is capable of that. Sayyidina Musa goes out on his own, heroically banished, and look at the extraordinary progeny that comes from that and the land that he has given in the end. Sayyidina Maryam, look at what comes from her. Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, and the extraordinary miracles that come through Sayyidina Isa, and the one who will come again at the end of time. alayhi salam, wa ala jami' al-anbiya wa mursaleen. So this is something that is hard for us, but it is in our nature to embrace. And happiness in youth is being fully integrated in one's physical and mental energy in a good way, for the sake of others, whether it be volunteer work overseas, or whether it be going into business and being absolutely meticulous in the business so that you're not wronging anybody. Business ethics, we call it nowadays. Or whether it simply be that you hold the door open for somebody when it doesn't seem to be particularly necessary, but it's better to look like a fool than to be rude to that person. All of these things are futuwa. Even the most basic things. I have a particular issue with what I call toilet futuwa. This is an issue for Muslim students in particular. It's nearly time for the Jummah. Everybody's in a hurry. The lecture's just ended, so you go into the restrooms in the faculty or the college. The next person who goes in thinks that the Asian tsunami has just occurred. Usually he doesn't know why. He hasn't got the ability to work it out, but that's not how it should be. The Muslim is the one who does not waste. The Muslim is the one who thinks about who's going to come next and does everything in a quick, efficient, non-wasteful and respectful way. That's futuwa, and that is a way of overcoming the nafs that really is just as important as some of the more dramatic things that we like to think about that go on battlefields. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us up to the state of perfection that's appropriate to our stage in life, to being a young person, to being a man, to being a woman, whatever our aspirations, and to give us something of this glorious state. Because through this, inshallah, and through the new generation, the wounds of the ummah can be healed. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة